Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Surviving the Days Ahead. I'm your host, Reverend Deborah Marshall. Now today we will review fallout shelter information again, and we will then talk a bit about aromatherapy, essential oils and herbs that are medicinal and have good curative properties. Time permitting, I have some information about building a food pantry for disasters, you know, your stash of food, and wild edibles that can be foraged even from your backyard. And that, now there are classes that are available in foraging and in recognizing various edible plants, and I highly recommend that you take a class to be perfectly safe, because some plants look a lot like other plants, and you can poison yourself if you don't know what you're doing. So I do recommend that you, and also get good books and really read them and study the way the plants look and all of that. Because I think it would be a fun thing to do, too, you know, to go out and see what you can find before the need arises, you know, understand it before something happens. Now, we're going to, first of all, before I start on the shelters, there is a website you might want to check out. It's called Survivalist Gear, survivalistgear.com, and you might enjoy that website. I notice most of these websites that I give you, they have blogs, so you can get information from them, and that is a very good thing. Now, one of these websites, one of the things that I looked at, or in fact it was actually a YouTube video, a core shelter is a shelter within a shelter. In other words, if you build one in your basement, if you build an actual room in your inside your basement, that would be a core shelter because it's a shelter that's been built inside of a house. Now, you can use just about anything, pile up just about anything to add thickness to the walls of your shelter, such as books, cans of food, dirt or water in boxes or bags, and you have to remember to keep a, you know, when you're making the walls of it, you have to keep a crawl space in an area open with so that you can get in there, and then you can pull boxes and bags up to it and close it up. I cannot imagine anybody staying in a shelter of that type more than a few hours. If you, you know, you're going, you really won't be able to come out probably for 5 days to 7 days or even a little bit longer. And if that's the case, then no one is going to want to crawl into something and lay flat on their back for the whole time. I mean, you still have to go to the bathroom, you still have to eat, and nobody's going to want to be flat, you know, that long. So you would almost have to come out of that crawl space to eat, and then you'd be exposing yourself to radiation if you haven't really been careful and built up that room to help cut back on the possibility of the radiation getting in. So my feeling is those crawl spaces are not very good. But, you know, in a pinch, in a hurry, stacking up books, boxes, trunks, cans, anything that you can put between you and the outside is helpful. You can stack up things like books. He was showing boxes in the video, boxes that had two trash bags in them, the heavy-duty ones, and filled with, some of them were filled with water and some were filled with dirt. And then, but the thing is this, you know, he's putting them in cardboard boxes. The weight of water and dirt will gradually start to make that cardboard get soft and cave in. So everything about that idea to me doesn't work well. But if you had them up high enough and then put plywood or boards across, you know, to make a support for the roof, and then put more stuff on top of it to give it a roof, then it would be a little easier. Then you could stand up in it, which would make it a little easier to do, you know, to stay in for a while. Now, one thing that I did see, and you might want to check it out, I don't think it's worth paying this for. eBay had a nuclear, biological, and chemical protection system, a fallout shelter, basically, for $8,000. And it's supposed to be for 6 people. It doesn't look like it would do what they say it'll do. It may fit inside of a big basement. And I guess if it's inside a basement, maybe it would be pretty good, but you'd have to look at it and see what you think. They did not show pictures of the interior of the thing either. If you are building one in your basement, try to pick a wall or corner that has the most dirt on the outside of the building. You know, in other words, the deepest part of your basement. If you have one that has dirt almost up to the ceiling, that's really what you want. And then you add material to that wall, too, so that you have even more thickness to make it less penetrable, you know, to add shielding. Now, I believe that the safest way is to use cinder blocks, and you can fill those with dirt, too, and mortar, you know, put them together with real mortar, to build a room within a room that you can stand up in. And that, therefore, you can have a chair, you can stand up, you can have shelves for your food and stuff, and you can put your bucket toilet in there if you don't have a toilet in your basement. And to me, that is the absolute best way to do it. You're building a room, and the room is within your basement. And it's much thicker, especially if you put dirt down into those cinder blocks. Now, I've looked at several videos, and the best one so far is the old one. Walt builds a fallout shelter in his basement from the 50s or 60s. I think you'll see what I mean if you look at some of the others. Now, you can get fallout shelter plans from FEMA. They can supply you with information regarding building a shelter, and you should consider asking for a copy. You can also go to ready.gov, and I think that they will also have information on who to contact if you want to consider doing that. I think it's a good idea personally, particularly since people no longer they don't have fallout shelters. There may have been a few half-hearted attempts back in the during the Cold War, but you'll find that they just don't have them anymore. And I am hoping and praying that the people that hear me when I'm doing this show will listen and start talking, you know, the city council and this kind of thing, to try to figure out a plan. You know, we have government buildings and big churches and schools and places that have buildings and hospitals all on every corner practically in this town, and we have them all over the different corners of this town. There's no reason why they couldn't designate some of those government buildings and try to get the cooperation of churches and schools to use some of those basements as designated fallout shelters. And now is the time to act. Don't wait until things are ready to happen, because you need to try to figure out what you're going to do about a lot of things. And you need to start getting ready. Just to be on the safe side, hopefully it won't happen. You know, I really mean it when I say pray for peace. It doesn't have to be this way. We can choose as a group of people on this planet not to kill ourselves off. And I hope that we will have enough sense not to. Now, sheltering. The principles of radiation protection are simple. With many options and resources, families can use or prepare or improvise a very effective shelter. You must throw off the self-defeating myths of nuclear unsurvivability that may needlessly seal the fate of less informed families. Radioactive fallout is the particulate matter or dust produced by a nuclear explosion and carried high up into the air by the mushroom cloud. It drifts on the wind, and most of it settles back to Earth downwind of the explosion. Now, the heaviest, most dangerous, and most noticeable fallout will fall out first close to ground zero. That'll be the worst, of course. It may begin arriving minutes after an explosion, while the smaller and lighter dust-like particles will typically be arriving hours later, as they drift much further downwind, often for hundreds of miles, depending on the weather. As it settles, whether you can see it or not, fallout will accumulate and blow around everywhere, just like dust or like snow does on the ground and roofs. Wind and rain can concentrate the fallout into localized hotspots of much more intense radiation with no visible indication of its presence. Now, this radioactive fallout dust is dangerous because it is emitting penetrating radiation energy similar to X-rays. This radiation, not the fallout dust, can go right through walls, roofs, and protective clothing. Even if you manage not to inhale or ingest the dust and keep it off your skin, hair, and clothes, and even if none gets inside your house, the radiation penetrating your home is still extremely dangerous and can injure or kill you inside. So radioactive fallout from a nuclear explosion, though very dangerous initially, loses its intensity quickly because it is giving off so much energy. For example, fallout emitting gamma ray radiation at a rate of 500 rads an hour, fatal with 1 hour of exposure. Shortly after an explosion, weakens to only one-tenth as strong 7 hours later. 2 days later, it's only one-hundredth as strong or as deadly. As it was initially. Now, this is really good news because our families can readily survive it if we get them into a proper shelter and to safety, safely wait it out. It comes less dangerous with every passing hour. Now, what stops radiation and thus shields your family is simply putting masks between them and the radiation source. Like police body armor stopping bullets, masks stops or absorbs radiation. The thicker the mass, the more radiation it stops. Also, the denser or heavier the mass used, the more effective it is with every inch more you add to your fallout shelter. The thickness in inches needs to cut the radiation down to only one-tenth of its initial intensity for different common materials. Steel is 3.3 inches, concrete 11 inches, earth 16 inches, water 24 inches, and wood 38 inches. Now, the thickness required to stop 99% of the radiation is 5 inches of steel or 16 inches of solid brick or hollow concrete blocks filled with mortar or sand. 2 feet of packed earth or 3 feet if loose and 3 feet of water. Now, you may not have enough steel available, but anything you do have will have mass and can be used to add to your shielding. It just takes more thickness of lighter wood, for example, than heavier earth to absorb and stop the same amount of radiation. Increasing the distance between your family and the radiation outside also reduces the radiation intensity. Sadly, most of the information that we get comes from the 50s. From the 40s and the 50s and 60s. It's really hard to find any kind of updated information. Everybody assumes that our bombs will do about the same thing that they did back then. And the truth is we have more sophisticated and stronger warheads now. So what we are doing is we are thinking that, you know, well, 2 days will be enough. And you don't realize, you don't know that. It's much better if you wait perhaps a week in a fallout shelter. So you really need to try to plan. And even in 2 days, how many people will want to crawl in and lay on their bellies in a crawl space? So we really need public fallout shelters that at least allow people to stand up, even if it's a very small area. Now, to maximize the distance away from the fallout, the goals of your family fallout shelter are, number one, to maximize the distance away from the fallout dusting outside on the ground and roof, to place sufficient mass between your family and the fallout to absorb the deadly radiation, to make the shelter tolerable to stay in while the radiation subsides with every passing hour. Now, while a fallout shelter can be built anywhere, you should see what your best options are at home or nearby. Some structures already provide significant shielding or partial shielding that can be enhanced for adequate protection. If you do not have a basement available, you can still use techniques shown below in any above-ground structure, but you'll need to use more mass to achieve the same level of shielding. So if you take, like, the middle of your living room and build yourself a crawl space, you know, with bookshelves and drawers and, you know, all of that around you, it probably won't be as good, but it would still be better than nothing. So you have to look at it that way, too. And then if you have windows in that room, You've got to find a way to really seal up those windows. Now, let me see. You may consider using other solid structures nearby, especially those with below-ground spaces, such as commercial buildings, schools, churches, below-ground parking garages, large and long culverts and tunnels, etc. Some of these may require permissions and or the acquiring of additional materials to minimize any fallout drifting or blowing into them, if open-ended. Buildings with a half dozen or more floors where there is not a concern of blast damage may provide a good radiation protection in the center of the middle floors. This is because of both the distance and the shielding the multiple floors provide from the fallout on the ground and roof. So that's why they say in an office building, if you can get away from the windows and be right in the center of the building, you know, then you're protected from the roof and you're protected from the ground. And if you're in the center, you know, then the sides are, but at the same time, if there is anything that comes down close to you, then that wouldn't be a good place to be either. Bottom line, choose a structure nearby with both the greatest mass and distance already in place between the outside where the fallout would settle and the shelter inside. If you have a basement in your home or at nearby relatives or friends' house that you can use, your best option is probably to fortify and use it unless you have already access to a better, deeper structure nearby. For an expedient last-minute basement shelter, push a heavy table that you can get under into the corner that has, I don't know what they mean by under there. Push a heavy table that you can get under into the corner that has the soil highest on the outside. Well, I've already said that to you. You know, you need to find the place where your basement has the most dirt up against the outside walls. And then you should fortify it even more from the inside if you can. The ground level outside ideally needs to be above the top of the inside shelter. In other words, the land outside should be up higher on the outside of that wall so that you have protection all the way up. If no heavy table is available, you can take internal doors off their hinges and lay them on supports to create your table. Then pile any available mass on and around it, such as books, wood, cordwood, bricks, sandbags, heavy furniture, full file cabinets, full water containers, your food stocks and boxes and pillowcases full of anything heavy like earth. Everything you can pile up and around it has mass that will help absorb and stop more radiation from penetrating inside. The heavier, the better. However, be sure to reinforce your table and support so you do not overload it and risk collapse. You don't want to kill yourself underneath a pile of stuff that's too heavy. Now leave a small crawl space near the entrance, and more mass there can be easily pulled in after you seal it up. Have at least two gaps, 4 to 6 inch square air spaces, one high at one end and one low at the other. Use more if crowded and or hotter climate. A small piece of cardboard can help fan fresh air in if the natural rising warmer air convection current needs an assist moving the air along. This incoming air won't need to be filtered if the basement has already been reasonably sealed up. However, any windows or other openings will require some solid mass coverage to assure they stay sealed and to provide additional shielding protection for the basement. More details on this in the next section, it says. Well, as I said, I don't know of anyone that's going to want to stay 5 days on their belly. Now, if your basement is reasonably sealed up, then you could, you know, come out some to eat and stretch and go to the bathroom and that kind of thing and then go back in. But you have to make sure your basement is really sealed up tightly. That means for your windows, if you have any windows of any kind, put sandbags, I think would be the best thing you could put, flat up against the window, and then take masonry screws and plywood and put that up against that window and screw the sandbag flat as you can make it up against that window. Then you can put plastic with duct tape all around it so that there's no dust getting in from around the window. And you can also seal your basement door this similar way, maybe not with sandbags, but you would want to seal all around the perimeter of it so dust doesn't blow in that way as well. Now, let me see. Okay, the incoming air won't need to be filtered. Okay, yeah, if your house is relatively sealed up or your basement. And, you know, if it were only a matter of 2 or 3 days, then maybe a crawl space wouldn't be so bad. But I don't think many people would want to stay in it for 5 days. And that's really what you should do. You know, 5 to 7 days. In fact, I have read in other places that, 5 to 7 days if one bomb lands. But then a day or two into it, if another bomb lands, then you really should extend it to 7 more days. So that means you really need to plan for 14 days, even if you don't have to stay in there that long. So you have to look at all of that. Now, with more time, materials, and carpentry or masonry skills, you could even construct a more formal fallout shelter, such as the lean-to shown to the right. That's not much better than a crawl space, though. They're showing the wall, and then they have, I don't know what they're using. It looks like bricks. They have something that comes down like a roof and some sort of material to make it thick. Anyway, you could probably do it if you had a bunch of doors that you could line up there and then add to it, you know, put things like sandbags on it. And that possibly would work. Any of it is better than nothing. Now, let's see, but you will need to assure structural integrity is achieved and adequate mass is utilized, and you don't want to put something up there that's going to fall on you and you get hurt. An effective fallout shelter constructed in a basement may reduce your radiation exposure to 100 to 200 fold. Thus, if the initial radiation intensity outside was 500 rads an hour, which would be fatal in 1 hour, the basement shelter occupants might only experience 5 rads or even less, which is survivable as the radiation intensity will be decreasing with every passing hour. Now, adding mass on the floor above your chosen basement corner and outside against the walls opposite your shelter can dramatically increase your shielding protection. Every inch thicker adds up to more effective life-saving radiation shielding. Now, as cramped as a crawl space fallout shelter might seem, the vital shielding provided by simply moving some mass into place could be the difference between exposure to a lethal dose of radiation and the survival of your family. The majority of people requiring any sheltering at all will be many miles downwind, and they will not need to stay sheltered for weeks on end. In fact, most people will only need to stay sheltered full-time for a few days before they can start coming out briefly to attend to quick essential chores. Later, they can begin spending even more time out of the shelter daily, only coming back in to sleep. As miserable as it might seem now, you and your family can easily endure that, especially compared to the alternative. I still think that 2 to 3 days is dangerous. I really do. I think there'll be more radiation with our level of bombs than what we had in Hiroshima. I really do think that. I'm not an authority. I know what I've read, and I also know what my spirit guides have told me about these things. So I tend to believe what they have said about it. Now, essential details. If you've accomplished the above, securing your supplies, stored water, and built your family fallout shelter, congratulations. You have now succeeded in improving the odds of survival for your family 100-fold or more. Now you need to expand your knowledge and fine-tune the tactics that will make the most of your family's survival strategy. Government information and guidance is a vital resource in your response to a nuclear crisis, but for so many reasons, it may be late, incomplete, misleading, or simply an error. While evacuation might be prudent for individuals who act quickly in response to a threat, governments will be slow to call the mass evacuations because of their potential for panic and gridlock. As the recent government calls for duct tape and plastic sheeting led to sold-out stores, anxiety, and a derision from the press, there would be great reluctance to issue similar alarms. But you should get it anyway, if you can. Plastic sheeting is something you can get from Uline, and you can probably get it at most hardware stores, I'm guessing. And certainly duct tape is available everywhere. And I probably shouldn't give brands, but since I have been giving brands of survival goods, there are plenty of good duct tapes out there. But I have found that the Gorilla brand duct tape is pretty darn strong, a little stronger than some of the others. Personally, that's just my personal preference. Now, if you want to assure that you have adequate food and supplies for your family, you must act before the panic without first waiting for government instructions that may never come as urgently as warranted. You alone are ultimately responsible for your family. Now, filtering the air coming into your basement shelter won't be required. Air does not become radioactive, and if your basement is reasonably snug, there won't be any wind blowing through it to carry the radioactive fallout dust inside. So it's the dust that absorbs radiation, not the air. Simply sealing any basement windows and other openings prevents significant fallout from getting inside. To improve both the radiation shielding inside the basement and to protect the windows from being broken and letting fallout blow in later, you should cover them all with wood and then with sandbags or solid masonry blocks or earth, etc., on the outside and inside too if possible. If the basement air gets seriously stale later on, you could reopen a door into the upper floors, open the door into the upper floors of the still closed house, or secure a common furnace air filter over an outside air opening to leading into your basement. I would not do that. I would try my best to maybe just let a little air in from the rest of the house rather than the whole. You know, you don't want it to be outside. I mean, you know, the air. I wouldn't use a furnace filter. I'd be afraid it wouldn't be good enough. Now, regarding the fallout contamination, any food or water stored in sealed containers that can later have any fallout dust brushed or rinsed off of the outside of the container will then be safe to use. As long as the fallout dust does not get inside the container, then whatever radiation penetrated the food or water container from the outside does not harm the contents. If you suspect that your clothes have fallout on them, remove your outer clothing before you come inside and leave them outside. A cheap plastic hooded rain poncho that can be easily rinsed off or left outside is very worthwhile. Have water and baby shampoo near the entrance, hose and containers to wash thoroughly. I'm sorry, I'm having trouble seeing this crazy thing. The rain poncho that can be easily rinsed off or left outside is very worthwhile. Have water and baby shampoo near the entrance, hose and containers to wash and thoroughly rinse any exposed skin and hair. Exposure to fallout radiation does not make you radioactive, but you need to assure that you don't bring any inside with you. If any are stricken with radiation sickness, typically nausea, it is when mild, that is less than 100 rads, 100% recoverable and cannot be passed on to others. Before fallout arrives, you might also try to cover up items you want to protect outside for easier rinsing off of the fallout dust later when it's safe to come out and do so. For instance, if you have a vegetable gardening spot, you might try covering much of it with plastic or tarp and weighing the tarp and plastic down. So you could do that before things hit if you have time. And that way it would protect the land, the dirt there, it would protect it from the fallout getting into the dirt. If without sufficient time to acquire radiological instruments of your own, like Geiger counters and dosimeters, you'll need to be extra sure that your portable radios function properly from inside your shelter and that you have plenty of fresh batteries stockpiled for them. Without radiological instruments, listening for official guidance about the radiation threat levels in your particular area will be the only way you'll know when it's become safe to venture out. And as I've said many times, the weather radio that gets the official NOAA weather channels is essential. And you can get one. The one I got, it was $32, and it gets the NOAA channels. It even gets shortwave. I'm not sure what is broadcast on that anymore. But it does have NOAA, as well as it's a decent radio, and it has solar power and USB. Recharge it that way too. So it has a lot of good features for that price and a good sound quality. So that's some. They have some that are cheaper though. But the main thing is that you have the NOAA channel that you can reach, because that's where official news will be most likely given out. Now, it might also be the only, when not in use, they should not be attached to any outside antenna or even have their own antenna extended. And they should be wrapped in any non-conducting insulation like layers of paper or bubble wrap plastic and then stored in a metal container or wrapped in aluminum foil to minimize the potential of EMP ruining the electronics. Having backup radios would be very prudent. With extra radios, you can always have one tuned in to the closest likely target city, and if it suddenly goes off the air, that could be your first indication of an attack. That's an interesting observation. If you don't have a Faraday cage, you can build. There are tapes on the videos on the computer on YouTube, all kinds of videos about how to make one. And the one that was the simplest was a plastic bucket inside of a metal trash can. And a plastic bucket, and then you put your stuff inside of there, and then you seal the bucket with aluminum tape around it. It was really was an interesting little video. We talked about it, I think, a few weeks ago, and it works. Now, another thing is this: you can get those anti-static bags. Places like Uline, and I'm sure there are plenty of other places, you can get those anti-static bags that are supposed to keep your electronics safe. You can get them, large ones and small ones, right down to wallet size, I think. And you can, if you get those, then you can wrap your computer in this kind of thing and always keep it in an anti-static bag when you're not using it. And that might help too, if an EMP hits. Now, if close to a target, your first indication of a nuclear detonation may be with the characteristic blinding bright flash. The first effects you may have to deal with before radioactive fallout arrives, depending on your proximity to it, are blast and thermal energy. Promptly employing the old duck and cover strategy will save many from the avoidable flying debris injuries and minimize thermal burns. Those very close with experience tornado strength winds and should quickly dive behind any solid object or into an available depression, culvert, etc. A very large 500-kiloton blast 2.2 miles away will arrive about 8 seconds after the detonation flash with a very strong 3-second wind blast. That delay is much greater further away. Now, that is a lot of time to take cover if alert, and you should stay down for up to 2 minutes. If not near any target ground zero, you will only, like the vast majority, have to deal with the fallout later. But if you're close enough to see the blinding flash and feel that wind blow past you, I forgot now what I was like. It was one of the articles that I've been reading online, the wind is up to 450 miles per hour. It knocks down buildings. So are you going to stay in a ditch or a culvert? Probably not. You'll probably get blown right away with it. you know, what you want is to try to really be alert and try to be in a, somewhere further away from ground zero if you can. Now, when fallout is first anticipated but has not yet arrived, anyone not already sheltered should begin using a dust protector filter mask and hooded rain ponchos. Everyone should begin taking potassium iodide, potassium iodate, KIO3 tablets for thyroid protection against cancer-causing radioactive iodine, a major product of nuclear weapon explosions. If no tablets are available, you can topically on the skin apply an iodine solution like tincture of iodine or betadine for similar protective effect. Warning, iodine solutions are never to be ingested or swallowed. They're poisonous. For adults, paint 8 cc's of a 2% tincture of iodine on the abdomen or forearm each day, ideally at least 2 hours prior to possible exposure. For children 3 to 18 but under 150 pounds, only half of that amount painted on daily, or 4 cc's, which 4 cc's is just a little bit over a teaspoon. For children under 3 but older than a month, half again, 2 cc's. For newborns 1 month old, half of it again, or just 1 cc. One measuring teaspoon is about 5 cc's. So if you don't have a medicine dropper graduated in cc's, you'd have to do it that way. If your iodine is stronger than 2%, dilute the dosage accordingly. Absorption through the skin is not as reliable dosing method as used with tablets, but tests show that it will still be very effective for most. Do not use if allergic to iodine. Any of you who have shellfish allergies or who have reactions to such things as the dye that they give you for x-ray test, if that's the case, you might have to talk to your doctor about what would be safe for you. If at all possible, inquire of your doctor now if there's any reason why anybody in your household should not use potassium iodide tablets or iodine solutions on their skin in a future nuclear emergency, just to be sure. And that's what I would do. I would say that that's a wise thing to do. Now, I tell you, the time goes so fast. Okay, when you know that the time to take protective action is approaching, turn off all the utilities into the house, check that everything is sealed up and locked down, and head for the shelter. You should also check that you have near your shelter additional tools, crowbars, and car jacks for digging out later, if required, and fire extinguishers handy too. Also, any building supplies, tools, sheet plastic, staple guns, etc. for sealing any holes from damage. Your basement should already be very well sealed against fallout drifting inside. Now you'll need to seal around the last door you use to enter with duct tape all around the edges, especially if it's a direct door to the outside. Now, I hope that helps. But I really urge everybody to, all of the people that are on town councils and governors and all, to really look at this and see just how, you know, it's the possibility of something happening. I think that it would be wise to start designating shelters and telling the public so they know where to go and what you can bring, what you can and can't bring with you. Because some people can bring their own food and water, for instance, perhaps, and maybe the bucket, you know, toilet system in case the toilets aren't working. You know, there are a lot of things that people might be willing to do if they know that they can and where they can go. Now, the radius. I wanted to do this before we get into the herbs and essential oils. The radius of a nuclear blast, are you ready to survive? And it's an article by George Kaplan, and it's in the American Survival Guide Special Doomsday Edition, and that was from a while back, but it's a good article. Of all of mankind's feats, the development of nuclear power may be one of the most awe-inspiring, yet also the most polarizing. The first inklings of scientific success came in the 1930s when physicist Enrico Fermi conducted experiments in Rome that showed neutrons could split many kinds of atoms. This became the discovery of nuclear fission, in which energy is created via the splitting of atoms, confirming Einstein's famous energy equals mass times the speed of light squared, or E equals mc squared theory. This culminated in the birth of the self-sustaining critical reaction, in which atoms could be split to reach large amounts of energy, ushering in the nuclear age, when the concept of critical mass from uranium was demonstrated at the University of Chicago in 1942. Next came the legendary Manhattan Project, which developed nuclear power as a weapon for World War II. Two nuclear bombs were dropped on the cities of Hiroshima and Nagasaki in Japan, killing 129,000 people and impacting the landscape and environment for decades to come. Now, the best defense is a thick defense. As of now, this remains the only time nuclear bombs have been used in any war or conflict, yet the raw destruction from World War II bombings has left an indelible mark on the world's collective psyche. World politics continue to be a fragile and unpredictable landscape, and it begs the question, are you prepared to survive a nuclear attack? In some cases, you simply have no shot of survival, but do you know how to best navigate this potential scenario if you do have a chance? Do you know where the nearest fallout shelter is from your home? Have you talked to your family about what to do in the event of an attack? Chances are you haven't, or at least you haven't lately, but don't let complacency be the reason you weren't prepared. We will take a look at this scenario from a survivalist standpoint, as self-preservation is likely to be the only possible good to come out of this tragic scenario. Know the big three. Understanding your chances of survival starts and, well, pretty much ends here. The three factors protecting yourself from radiation and fallout are distance, shielding, and time. When planning for survival, these factors should be the ones you carefully and seriously consider. Sorry, I didn't get the pages bent like I usually do to make it easy to pick up. Okay, at-risk areas. How at risk is your community to facing nuclear attack? Though terror can certainly strike anywhere, it is important to think about the communities, cities, states, or areas that would provide the most valuable to an attacking entity. According to the U.S. Department of Homeland Security, the following communities are the most likely to be targeted: major ports and airfields, petroleum refineries, electrical power plants, and chemical plants, strategic missile sites and military bases, centers of government such as Washington, D.C., and state capitals, important transportation and communication centers, manufacturing, industrial technology, and financial centers. Now, distance. Put as much distance between yourself and the fallout particles as possible. Once a blast has detonated, it is designated to spread radioactive particles across the areas in and out of the blast radius. You have to get space from your radioactive invaders, so it is best to head to an underground area such as a home or office building basement. Given the likelihood of concrete and rebar construction, this option offers more protection than you would have on the first floor of a building. We are already at the 92nd signal. If a basement isn't an option, a floor near the middle of a high-rise building might be a decent second option. But you have to consider the environment around the area in terms of how possible it is that significant fallout particles might collect. One of the worst places you could end up would be the flat roof of a building. These areas collect the fallout the worst. Now, I'm going to have to stop there, and we will pick this up If I'm able to, I have so many things I'm doing right now, but if I am able to, I will try to have another show in the middle of the week so I can finish some of this up. I am also thinking about having a children's show with just reading children books and poetry and this sort of thing. I might do that sometime during the morning hours in the beginning of the week. So not this week, but if you want to keep an eye out, I might finish this up. I might finish this up later this week so that we can move on to something else on Saturday, if I'm able to. I still have kind of a mess here. But anyway, I want to thank all of you for listening, and I hope that you keep your eyes on the news and what's happening in the world, and hurry up and get your supplies together and everything that you need. Get your go bag ready, and just be safe until we meet again probably next Saturday. I'm not sure when, but definitely next Saturday as we learn together how to survive the days ahead. Until then, may God bless you.